of social sin out there, very accepted, very worldly. And so the Apostle Paul had planted a church in Corinth, and then he had left. And the church there was a mess. I mean, they were using the communion wine to get drunk. They were sexual immorality all over the place. One time there's a story, the guys got together at the gym, and one of them is bragging about how he's sleeping with his father's wife. Jerry. I mean, right? I mean, seriously. And let me just segue and say, so often we say we want to be like the early church. Well, I think we're talking about the church in Acts. And there are so many areas and ways in which we do want to look more like the early church. But make no mistake, the early church was full of people just like you and me. People who sinned and struggled and had life issues. And they were just being put back together by God's grace. But so often they weren't living out that identity. And I think sometimes we don't as well. And I want to talk about that because that is important that we live out our identity in Christ, and you're living out your purpose in Christ. And so, last week, in 1 Corinthians 1:2, remember, Paul wrote this, and you think with all that was going on, he would have started his letter to the church, church in Corinth. What is wrong with you people? Get it together. Seriously, what is your deal? Instead, he starts and he says, I'm writing to God's church. You've been called by God to be his own holy people. You have been called by God to be his own holy people and how you live your life. And again, we do at times drop the ball and fall short, but it is about how we live and who we live our life for. Jesus, as he did for all people everywhere, he died for you to make you holy, to take your sin, shame, take your place. Your identity is now in him, and you now are to be living for him. Does that describe your life this morning? Because it should, as a follower of Jesus. This is Paul reminding them. And I think we so often as Christians live in an identity crisis. We identify men, it's our job. That's how we identify ourselves. We're doing good, we're advancing, we're doing all these things. Women, it can be as a mother or as a wife or your career. And none of those are bad things. But if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian, your identity should be Jesus. He should be number one in your life, number one in your home, number one in your workplace, and you should be trying to leverage your relationships, your positions, your resources for him and for the kingdom and for his church. And so often when we struggle with things, we let that become our identity. You can probably look at people around you in church or in your family or workplace, and yeah, they did that, and this is their deal and their issue. Instead of letting Jesus identify us and looking at others the way that the Lord does, which is looking at their potential and what they can be and loving on them. And the deal is that Jesus is the only way you're going to live out your purpose for existing on planet Earth. And God's design for you to do that is through relationships. 99.99% of the time that God heals and breaks through and does wonderful things, he's going to do it through community and through relationships. That's why he established the church. If we could just get saved and then go on live our life, there wouldn't need to be the church. The church is us together accomplishing God's purposes. So let's go on and let's look at a couple verses. And we're going to talk about four brief things in a moment today about how we cannot live out our purpose in Christ and how we cannot be what we should be. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Now, when you see that, the first thing we want to say here is live in harmony with one another, let there be no divisions. So we're like, right, okay, good. Meaning our church isn't like splitting up, we're not fighting with each other all the time, but really what he means more by that is that we live in harmony and have no divisions, meaning there be no division of our purpose. You are here to give your life for the Lord and to give your life to love and serve others. You're to be connected, you're to be serving Jesus by being connected to and by serving in his church. You're to take the talents God has given you, the time God has given you, the resources God has given you. See, when Jesus told the parable of the talents, here's what normally happens to us as churchgoers. We bury those talents underneath ourself and underneath our schedule and underneath our plans and busyness and wants and desires. And we put things ahead of the Lord. And that's us burying our talents. And Jesus says, hey, when I come back, I'm going to say, what'd you do for the kingdom? What'd you do for me and my church? Look what I did for you. And so it's so important that we're living out our identities and our destiny in Christ. Let there be no divisions in the church. Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. You should be coming to church to be a disciple, and disciples make disciples. hey, I'm on board with the church and what we're doing of trying to reach lost people and trying to live out our lives by giving our lives for the Lord and for others. Here's what division in church is. So as we talk about division today, don't think fighting and church splits and all that stuff. Division in the church, in your life and in mine, is simply misplaced focus. The division he's talking about is when our focus is misplaced. We so often put the focus on ourselves or on someone else, or our fear or our pride or our selfishness get in the way. Think about what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you want to be first, be last. If you want to be first, here's how your faith is summed up, is to love the Lord. Love the Lord and put him first. Love others and put them second, and put yourself third. So if the Lord comes first, and I'm to think of others ahead of myself, if you're here this morning and you're saved, praise Jesus, and you should be looking around, you should be out living on purpose for the fact that people all around you aren't. And you should be thinking of them ahead of yourselves in how you live your life, how you spend your time, how you look at your church and what we're doing here. And when we stay isolated and put the focus on ourselves, we don't do that. That's what unity in the church is. Unity in the church is simply being united about what we're doing here and being on board and being a part. Do you know, does everybody here wants to go to heaven, right? Anybody not? You'd rather go to hell? You'd rather go to heaven? So heaven's a big deal. Eternity is a big deal. I mean, Jesus came to win our eternities and to win our souls. Do you guys know that the Bible talks more about unity in the church than it does heaven or hell? The Bible talks more about unity in the church than heaven or hell. And that means your unity of being a part, your unity of the relationships you have in the church. Unity, togetherness. Oneness in the church is about us living out our identities in Christ together. 1 Corinthians goes on to say this in verses 11 and 12, and we'll do 13. For some members, and here's what's going on here. Here's what's going on. People in the church in Corinth were finding their identities in all kinds of things other than Jesus alone. You in your life should not be identifying yourself in anything before Jesus Christ. Republican, Democrat, man, woman, male, female, sports, career, nothing should come above this. And in the church, people were doing it because they were like, oh, I'm a follower of Paul or Apollos or Peter. And Paul is writing this saying, stop that garbage. You're a follower of Jesus. And so let's make a rule as a church. If anybody asks you about your faith, religion, you get into a conversation, don't say, I'm a this, or I go to the church of God. Say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Say, I'm a Christian. We don't need to build up the hopes and first church of God. We'll let the Lord do that. You build up Jesus with your life. Don't say, oh, I've been a Baptist, a Methodist. No, what does that mean? I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus didn't establish any denominations. He established his church. And this is what's going on. There are people, they're trying to identify with something else. And you know, we do that. We find our identities. We want attention. Listen, there's nothing wrong. I'm not going to get into this. Do you have a tattoo or two? But if you got 17, you're probably trying to get attention. You're probably trying to find identity. I'm not saying that's wrong, right? I'm just saying, why else are you doing it for? Because I just love it so much. When I was 18 years old, I showed up. I was a freshman in college. I showed up with an earring. Now, back then, you know, people had earrings, but I just wanted attention. I wanted to really shock my parents. I had great parents, but I wanted to show them I'm becoming an adult. I can make my own decisions. And looking back, what an idiot. Like, why? I mean, I wanted attention, right? And so we try to find identity in all kinds of places. And guys, there are movements all over. You look at some of the movements that you see in America. You look at political party. You look at all these things. People are trying to identify with something. But you as a Christian, nothing should define your identity above the fact that you are loved and are following Jesus. Am I right? And if anything else, when people think of you, they might think of this, or this is kind of your thing. That shouldn't be the case, because here's the deal. In 1 Corinthians, let's look at what verse 13 says right after that. Verse 13 says this, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Listen, guys, no pastor, no church, no denomination paid for your sin. Jesus did. There it is. And that's why we have Jesus as the subject on our wall. Not the church of God, not what's on our sign, not anything else other than Christ and him crucified. And when you embrace that, you will embrace his church. You'll embrace each other. You'll embrace the hard to embrace. And guys, with each day, you know, time is running out. The Bible says it's God's grace that waits, because all over the world, every day, more people are saved into the kingdom of God. More souls are saved every single day. That's why Jesus hasn't come back yet. And we want, and our job is to see more of that happen here. And how do we do that? It is your job as a Christian to connect people with Christ. So how do you do that? By how you live? Yes. By how you treat people? Yes. By being part of the body of Christ. The body, the church, is we're the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're that when we're together and united in our purpose. Let me ask you this morning, what can you identify in your life that's distracting you from living out your destiny in Christ, from your identity being Christ, and from you making a big difference in the kingdom? And boy, for some, you can think of a sin. It's just you're living in sin. If you just are, that's holding you back. Sometimes it can be good things. It can be all kinds of things. And I will tell you, if you've been in church a long time or your whole life, you're the most in danger of this, because we just get in that rut. The tires find the rut on the dirt road, and that's just the way we're going. It is so hard for us sometimes, if we've been in church a long time, to really be objective and say, man, where am I getting it and not? What areas of my life? And that's why you've got to be connected, and not to your spouse or to your family, because they're going to love you no matter what. You need people in your life, like people in a small group, like people in your church. You need this. And so let's talk this morning, and let's go quickly through these four ways in which you cannot live out your identity in Christ, in which division and fruitlessness can happen in your life if you're not careful. And number one is this. Division and fruitlessness happen in your life and in the church when your focus is inward and not outward. Now be careful, because we talk to pastors and churches and people, and if a church isn't doing well, that's always the first thing, is we need to be more outwardly focused. Well, we certainly do. Every church should be. Jesus lived his life for others, not for himself, and he's who we're trying to model, is living for others and not ourselves. But I want you this morning to apply this to yourself. Are you focused on yourself or on others in how you live your life? And be real. Are you focused more on yourself and you and yours, or on others and on the lost and on what you can do? This is applicable to you and I individually, because we have a common mission. And do you know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed for you? He prayed for the church. In John 17, he said, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed for you right before they took him. He prayed that our unity would be so contagious that it would be irresistible to others. And again, when there's division in the church, where we're fighting and fussing, and if they would come into your home or hear you out at the restaurant or hear you out in public, and you're talking about your fellow believers and your church and complaining and being negative, forget it. There's division right there, and there's people who, why would they want to come to church? Why would they want to be a part of this? They can find identity and connectedness in all kinds of places socially. Why the church? Jesus prayed that our unity and our purpose and our love for one another would be so contagious that it would be irresistible to the world. If the world doesn't see us in love and together, why would they want to be a part of that? And here's the key to that. Inward, not outward, not inward. The more you focus on yourself, the less you will look like Jesus. The more your life is about you, the less you'll look like Jesus, and the less attractive you'll be to lost people. And if you're here and you're saved, listen, we have all kinds of purposes in life. Can you tell me any purpose you have that's greater than being part of reaching lost people, being part of the body of Christ? And what did Jesus come to do? Seek and save those that are lost. That's your purpose. That is your purpose. And the more we focus on ourselves, the less we look like Jesus. Think about Jesus, who was God in a body, who was so worthy of all praise and had given up heaven and was so worthy of everything, but he lived just the opposite, didn't he? He lived so humbly. He lived so meagerly. Jesus never had a home or an iPhone or a car or a lot of stuff or any money. He just gave his life. Now, in the context of our lives, we have those things, but are you giving your life? And see, we can't be the body of Christ if we're not a body together. If we're 350 people, but 150 of us aren't connected, our body is broken. How can we connect people to Jesus if we're not connected? Well, we can't. I can't go out there on my own. Are you kidding me? And you think about, if you guys knew what went on around here during a week, and just all of your prayers and your faithfulness and your tithes and your prayers and your ability to help, and just, we are a team here, and that is so important, so, so important. And so the real question for you is, where are you? Now, if you're a new Christian or new to church, you're off the hook here. But if you've been coming to church for a long time, this is a verse that Paul's writing to us to say, hey guys, what's the deal here? In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. You think about a newborn, how all it can take is mom's milk or milk or formula because it can't handle meat, potatoes, real food. And Paul's talking about that spiritually later on in Corinthians when he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you weren't able to receive it. For you're still carnal, for there's envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not behaving like mere men? See, when our lives look just like the rest of the world, when all of our resources, we're so worried about leveraging them for ourselves versus for the kingdom and for others, when we're not loving and forgiving people like God does for us and did for us, we look like the rest of the world. And so, see, if you're here and you're here and you just come Sunday, go, come back Sunday, go, come back Sunday, go, There has to be more than that for you. There has to be more than that for you to live out your destiny in Christ. There has to be a sacrifice of our time, of our talents, of our resources so that we can accomplish and be the church as we're supposed to be. We will always be focused outwardly here as a church, and you're needed, and we need you to be a part of that. People need to hear your story. People need your love and your prayers and your time. They need you. So division and fruitlessness and you not living abundantly as Christ intended occurs when you're focused on yourself more than on others. Number two, this happens when we elevate the messenger or the messengers above the message. That is bad news. Bad news. I'll say it again and again and again. This is Jesus' church. I just work here. And if you want to focus on myself or Noah or Dan or Hunter or Cinnamon or any staff or people around you, listen, we're going to let you down. We're going to make, you're not going to like us all the time. You're just going to, we're just, that's just, it's just the way it is. You keep your focus on Jesus Christ, not on me or anyone else. And I mean, I see that in churches. I see that other places. I see it here. Stop that. I'm just like you, a sinner saved by God's grace being put back together. And this was happening in Corinth. People were saying, I'm of Paul or Apollos or Peter. And Paul was like, don't do that. Don't ever do that here. Because when you do that in a good way, see, it'll eventually become in a bad way. You know, at some point you're going to get frustrated, disappointed. You know, I tell my bad jokes to start the message and you're like, oh, you keep your focus on Christ. See, my job here is to equip you for ministry, to speak the truth of God's word, to help guide you spiritually, and that's what it is. I'm a broken person being put back together by God's grace, just like you. And that's no excuse to live in sin or to sin or to do what we want. That's just the reality of it. And when you live with that kind of humble heart, people will see that. Man, this world is dying. They're dying for something. We know what they're dying for, amen? We know that. And the deal is, our lives should be different. We should be peculiar and special, but we should also be getting into their lives and leveraging what we have and let them understand that God loves them right where they are. And right where they are, it's not good most of the time. But boy, we've all been there at one point in time. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we're focused on others instead of ourselves, when we're not worried so much about others or the pastors or whoever, we stay focused on Christ, we are fruitful. The third of the four ways this morning for division, for fruitlessness, for you to not live your identity or destiny in Christ is by trying to determine the motives of others rather than trusting their best intentions. Oh, this is bad in the church. We assume. We don't go to people. We just, well, I don't like what they did or who they are, and so I'm done with them. Instead of just, hey, can we talk? See, that's dangerous, because when the world sees that, we lose our fruitfulness. And I know it's easier. It's so much easier to just be like, well, forget them. I don't like what they said or did. I heard someone talked about me and how my preaching was horrible and my wife this and kids this and I that. Man, I don't like them anyway. No. We as believers must get to know each other. We must connect with each other. Now, as a church of several hundred people, we of course can't know everybody. But again, that's why you need to be a part of a small group. You need to be a part of connecting with one another. And see, the thing is, the people you connect with, they'll still disappoint you. They'll still say stupid things. They'll hurt you, let you down. But I have great news this morning. I have great news as believers to how we keep our testimony. Jesus gives a solution for this. If a brother or sister offends you, go to them, talk it out, forgive them, and move on. So I'll just say this morning, if you've got anybody in this church you can't stand, you're done with, whatever, that is sin. Go to them and say, hey, can we talk? And you may not be best friends or whatever, but you need to do that, because broken relationships, that's a worldly thing. That shouldn't be a church thing. That shouldn't be a church thing. And God gives us the way to that. And I have struggled with this, where it's like, I have forgiven so-and-so, or this person did this, and I forgive him, but hold on, does my life show that I forgive them? Oh, they're coming to this potluck, I'm not going. That's not forgiveness. And I sometimes have to watch myself with that. Because, you know, as a pastor, people, they criticize you. They expect you to be perfect. And that is ridiculous. What if we were known, and more so, because I think we are, but we can always do better, as a church who just genuinely loves each other and loves people. Because see, when people see us loving each other and being together, they long for that. Oh, they do. They long to see that with us. So when someone comes to you with gossip or complaints or talking about this or that, instead of stirring it, how about you silence it? We have a thing, and this is something with my family, with say, for example, with staff, and we don't talk about it really explicitly, but here's my thing. Publicize privately and defend publicly. You know, it's like, I'll use Hunter as an example. We spend a lot of time together. I know I get on his nerves. Thanks for agreeing with that. Appreciate that. But you know what? We can work that out. And we're commanded to work that out because we're believers. Oh, yeah, you're pastors. No, we're believers. We're commanded to work that out and to love each other and just move on. And it's going to happen. But God wants us to show that love and unity, and he commands us, and we'll answer for it if we don't. Our fourth and final way to have division, to be fruitless, is to live in the past and not for the future. And this is applicable to so many areas of your life. Again, live in the past. That's who they are. That's what they did. I don't like them. I this, I that. Also in church, the good old days and how we used to do it and how things used to be. That's not where God has us now. I can't come and see every one of you every time I need to. That's why we need each other. Live for, and this is spiritually as well. In fact, Philippians talks about this. This is applicable, church, you individually. We haven't achieved yet. And so if you're here today and you're like, I don't really serve, I'm not connected, but I've been there, done that, be careful. Are you telling God that, you know, you don't have a purpose anymore? He may just call you on home then. Be careful with this. And there's seasons of life, but we're to forget what's behind and look forward to what lies ahead. That's applicable to church, to relationships within the church, to you as far as any maybe sin you've struggled with. We are pressing on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God has called us. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about this. I want you to think about your life this morning. If Jesus comes back today, if something happens today, you're in an accident, this is it for you today, tomorrow, whatever. God has told us to be preparing for Jesus' return, to be doing ministry, to be trying to reach lost people, to be living on purpose, lest he come back and find us napping. Lest he come back and find us kind of like, I don't really care that much. I know I'm saved. I'm okay. Focusing inward. God tells us not to do that. It's okay to honor good memories, etc. We're supposed to be looking forward. Jesus is coming back. The lost and dying people are all around us, and we have a job to do. And we do that job better. We do that job, and you can live that destiny, that identity in Christ, when you choose to, and when you say, I'm gonna do this together. I'm in. We'll never get the job done alone. We must be connected. It's so critical. And so I just have a question for you this morning. This is a very general question. This is a very serious question. Is there any way in your walk with Jesus and in your church that you can move from spectating to participating? Because the Lord needs you. We need you to participate. I don't know what that necessarily looks like for you, but there's plenty of ways around here to go from spectating to participating. Would you guys stand with me this morning? We're going to sing in just one moment. We're going to have some prayer. I want you to take this very seriously. And yeah, you can sign up to join a group if you haven't. The sign-up sheet is out there by the t-shirts, sweatshirts. But right now, the altar is going to be open for you to come and pray. If you'd like someone to pray with you, or you can pray off by yourself to the sides. And I want you to be serious about, are you living your identity in Christ? Are you really living it? Are you being fruitful? Are you leveraging what God has given you for the kingdom? Are you showing the world that as Christians, we truly do love each other? Because that's how the Lord knows that we're His, is we love one another. And we'll disappoint each other. We'll have disagreements and arguments. You know what we do? We forgive and we just move on. We act like adults about it. That's being a follower of Jesus. And if you have sin in your life, now I'm not saying you struggle with something, because don't we all, but I mean, there's an area in your life, maybe it's obvious, maybe nobody knows about it, but you know it is sin and it's there. That is very serious. You need to repent from that. So we're going to sing in a moment, and before we do and have a chance to respond, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I want to come to you this morning, and Lord, be thankful for your grace and your love for us. Lord, I want to pray each and every one here is very serious right now, Lord, about where they're at. About, Lord, what are they doing with the talents you've given them, the life you've given them, the resources you've given them, the church that you have them at, their family, their careers. Are they, Lord, leveraging those? And are they really going to be able to, are we going to be able to stand before you one day and say, Lord, I did what I could. I really, really, really gave you my all. Because you gave your all for us, and you tell us to do the same. And I pray we'd be a church. And I pray there's no individual here who says, yeah, I want the church to do that too. Every individual here understands their call, Lord, their Heavenly Father direction and command from you to be doing that in their lives. Because, Lord, I want each and every one that is here today to live out their destiny in you, to live in that abundant, Lord, that safe, that sinless, becoming more like your Son, Lord, living on purpose, living, Heavenly Father, for you and for others ahead of ourselves, that the joy and the purpose that brings. I pray if there are those here that aren't living that, Lord, they would discover that in you. In Jesus' name, amen.